knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes that sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot, buddy?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is, of course, the dreamy, creamy summer,
naturally,
which is in full effect.
Non-stop.
I've stopped a little bit. I'm
well,
not constantly
eating ice cream. There's a few stops. Yes.
But yeah, it's been pretty good. I gotta say, though, everything has been good.
That's ice cream.
But I'm looking for something that's really going to blow my mind or be like, this sucks.
Absolutely.
And I've not found that yet. And, you know, I think I'm somebody who is a bit of a traditionalist sometimes. And, you know, I'm having some of these non-dairy options.
Okay.
There's the Yasso bars, the
right.
Greek yogurt.
Those are fantastic.
Sure. But those are off the beaten path. You'd
True.
Expect maybe someone like me who's a stick in the mud would be like, this is not the ice cream I know.
True.
And I think they've been great. Great to find in the mix. I don't know. I wish that I had something to report as like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing about the mustards and the seltzers is that you can really fuck up a mustard or a seltzer.
True.
It's tough to fuck up an ice cream, man.
I don't
the
agree with that at all.
The baseline is just fine. The baseline ice cream is pretty good.
I don't know. I think you could have some real...
I mean, you got lavender ass ice cream shoving up your...
I don't have a problem with lavender
ass ice cream. Oh, I hate lavender ass. I hate lavender ass ice cream.
I think that you can have some flavor problems, and maybe if that's lavender for you, then so be it.
It is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you can also just have some poorly made stuff, too.
Sure.
But yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. But you can find our pictures of all the ice creams.
Yes, on our Instagram account.
Yeah, which you run, which is kind of a problem because I have to send you pictures of the ice cream that I'm eating.
It's even
and then
more.
You post it.
No, it's even more ridiculous than that because you send them to me,
right.
And because of the way that I have the account set up, I don't have it on my phone. So then I have to email the pictures to my own email address in order to put it. It's bad.
There's a lot of steps here that are unnecessary, and we're not going to change anything about
it. Not a single step.
But I am going to start giving you actually like a little bit of a synopsis of how I feel about it.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
Because as it stands now, it's just like you coming up with a caption. Like, who knows if Danny would enjoy this?
Nope, no questions. Just the dreamy, creamy summer happens.
Yeah. Okay, yep. So we're going to change that. But not our horrible process.
No.
So what about you?
My bright spot, Dan, is for the first time in 20 years, after having been put on my partner's insurance, I went to the doctor. I went to the doctor.
First time in 20 years?
20 years.
That's a little much.
Why?
Look, I am not the most regular of...
Sure.
Medical attendees, let's say, or whatever,
sure.
But I've been more recently than that.
I'm not good
That's a long time.
I'm not good at the doctor. I'm not good at it. I nearly threw the paperwork at them. It was bad.
It was bad. It's a little annoying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as you get a little bit older, I think it becomes far more important that you...
Seems like it.
Yeah, make some regular appearances.
Yeah. So far, doing good.
Doing good.
20 years has not hurt me. All of my habits, he said, were perfect, and I should continue at the rate that I'm going.
Uh-huh.
Don't dial back at all.
Yeah, I feel like
told
everyone...
me to start smoking again. It was a wild
visit. Everybody who listens is like, that guy probably has great blood pressure. Like he seems like he's just mellow.
Oh, do you know what's crazy? My blood pressure is absolutely perfect and always has been.
Mm-hmm.
120 over 80.
You're saying perfect a lot here.
120 over 80.
Okay.
Nonstop, good, perfect.
Did you go to Trump's doctor? Like this? I don't mean to cast aspersions.
I mean, okay. So under an overpass or over an overpass, I feel like the doctor's quality is the same, right?
Fair point.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, today we are in the present day.
Okay.
We're talking about a present day episode. We're talking about May 9th, 2022. Wee. That's Monday to you.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah, sure. I have to be honest with you.
What?
I find it difficult to listen to him in the present day, not because of how awful he is, sure, although that is certainly a challenge.
Difficult.
But because I haven't gotten an explanation for why we're not all dead already. Like, you know, the sure, globalist plans are, you sure, know, it's too much. We can't stop it. It's already too late.
Yeah.
I'm still in that headspace, so when right, I'm listening to Alex's trivial-ass bullshit about right, headlines that he hasn't read the articles to,
right,
I just don't know what's going on anymore.
Well, see, the problem there is that you're still in that headspace, right? Because you were in that headspace when you were listening to that, and in the intervening time period, you received $0 million.
That is true.
So you're not in the good headspace where you're like, we've got another shot to beat them, guys!
I think that if I got a couple of million dollars, like Alex
million
did,
dollars,
I think I would still have questions.
I think you would probably would like, spiral out of control.
Well, I mean, probably. But I would be like, wahoo, I've got a couple million dollars.
Right.
Now, hold on.
Yeah.
We're all dead already.
Right.
Let's get back to that.
How do we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just pretending that didn't happen, I guess.
That's a way to do it.
So here we are.
Yep. Children.
Let's get down to business on this. But first, Jordan, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, Smoochie, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, and death to you.
Next, American citizen who joined a cult led by two Australian guys who talk media. Would Alex consider me a traitor? Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Betsy wants to hear the drop of Alex insisting he knows how to read. Please, it's my birthday. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
No. Fine.
I know how to read.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Next, Kaylin Sandel. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Might be Sandel.
Sandel.
Next, Kagi, but not the beer thing. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
A little Kagi.
My doctor told me to have a little Kagi.
Yeah, a little Kagi stand.
Yeah, a little Kagi stand every now and then.
Finally, we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much. Two wonkers of the world unite. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little breaky now. A little breaky for me. And then we're going to come back. And I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I did all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you, but at the end of the day, fuck you and your New World Order, and fuck the horse you rode in on, and all your shit.
Maybe today should be my last broadcast. I mean, maybe I'll just be gone a month, maybe 5 years. Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow, and you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
He's not. He has some troubles today.
Oh.
And I think that there is one thing that happens on this episode that's notable, and it is a protracted sort of breakdown that Alex has
sure,
in the middle of the show.
Now
we'll get to that, but he starts off in a more contemplative mood, talking about his favorite thing, movies.
Why do you think so many movies, including James Bond movies, and The Kingsman, and just countless others. Logan's Run.
It's all three
Zardoz.
Movies.
Zardoz. There's so many. 12 Monkeys. There's
they
hundreds.
Live.
Talk about global elites wanting to release a virus to depopulate you. Because that's really their operating system, and everybody in Hollywood knows it, and if you want to be part of the club, you've got to go along with that idea. So they tell you through the movies, but this isn't a 1960s movie or a 1970s movie or a 1980s movie or a movie in the 90s or the 2000s. This is the real planet that we live on, and this is happening now.
If you're trying to make a list of these movies that like prove that the globalists are trying to use films to announce to the public that they're planning to depopulate the planet, and the third entry on your list is Zardoz, I don't think that you have a good list here.
Okay.
I think your point may be hurt by your own list.
Sure. Now, you say that, but I do recall in the Book of Revelations that the Horseman of War looks an awful lot like Sean Connery and Zardoz.
That may be. I mean, there's interpretations that do say that, but look, I don't know. I've never actually seen that movie. I've just heard
either.
People talk
just,
about it.
Yeah.
But it's my. I don't think it has to do with like a population die off by elites using a bioweapon. Maybe
no
it
idea.
Is. I'm not sure.
No
All
clue.
I know is that shot of.
Yeah, there's only one shot. There's no reason to have a movie beyond that shot.
Mm-hmm. So there's tons of like more widely used plots and antagonists in movies, like serial killers. That's a plot sure. that people use all the time.
Yeah.
Alien invasions.
Did you know that globalists are going to serial kill each of us one by one? That's
and have
plan.
An alien invasion.
Yep.
And zombies.
Independence Day.
And vampires.
Yep.
And natural disasters.
Zombies and vampires versus Abraham Lincoln.
And natural disasters.
Yep.
The reason that there are a number of movies that use a villain planning to kill people with some kind of biological weapon is because it's a way to create really large stakes that the protagonist has to face. It makes it all the more important that the villain be stopped because the rippling damage that their success would cause is huge.
Yeah.
Conversely, the post-bioweapon dystopia is a good way to create a setting for a story where there can be less people around, like a ton less people,
yeah.
but the environment isn't really changed,
right.
which sometimes is easier on a budget.
It can be.
yeah.
When you're filming a movie and you've written some script and maybe there's a lot of stuff in there and maybe mm-hmm. you're just like, hey, how about we write in that it's cheaper to make in the script?
Yeah, like 28 days later, you don't have to change the environment at all.
Ooh, no.
You just have less people and more zombies running around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's basically the same amount of people.
Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of these things that Alex thinks are predictive and what the globalists
sure.
are telling you is going to happen.
Naturally.
But Alex is ready to tell you what the actual plan is.
We know what the plan is. We're already dead.
What is the plan?
The plan is, oh God, I have no idea.
Well, there's a new plan.
Okay.
And it's actually a good movie.
But the real model they're going to use for control over this depopulation is going to be a mix of Brave New World, THX-1138,
sure.
1984, and of course, Children of Men. If you haven't seen Children of Men, you'll need to see it. They're telling you exactly what they're going to do there.
Wait.
A chemical in the water supply that sterilizes you. But so that they can't pinpoint one thing, they hit you with chemicals in the water that sterilize a large percentage. Injections that sterilize a large percentage, GMOs that sterilize, aluminum dioxide, aerosol spraying.
So look, I don't. Was it stuff in the water that made people?
No idea.
I don't think that's.
I think it was kind of pointedly unexplained.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like we don't know why all of a sudden everybody couldn't have children and then one person could, and we're like, oh my God.
Yeah. That was the point.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't remember a third act reveal where it's like, oh, the nefarious people put stuff in the water to make people not have kids, especially considering that the people in charge really wanted the person who could have kids.
Yeah.
Because
super important.
Yeah, because then you could continue.
Then you could have the whole species continue.
Right.
Yeah. It's really important.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like it wasn't in the sort of cabal's interest.
Sure.
Or the power structure's interest within the movie. I don't know. Anyway, those pieces of dystopian fiction that Alex listed there, they're largely incompatible with each other. For a future similar to the Brave New World to come to be,
right.
essential elements of what makes Children of Men a dystopia could not have happened.
Can't happen.
For example. Like,
right.
It's just, they're mutually exclusive. That said, this is kind of a different doomsday fantasy for Alex. He talks about the globalists attacking reproduction sometimes, which is just kind of his version of the white nationalist talking points about declining
sure.
white birth rates.
Yeah.
But it usually doesn't end up being the end-all be-all of the globalist plans. It's usually just like a side project that they're working on. Also, why would the globalists make it so no one can have kids if their whole thing is abusing children? Like, if they derive their power from hurting kids and drinking their blood so they can appease Satan, wouldn't it be self-defeating to create a Children of Men scenario? I'd love to see how Alex would explain glaring plot hole.
I guess they farm them.
How?
You know.
What?
When they do fish farms, you put them in nets. I think that you do the same thing with babies. That's where they come from.
Well, but I considered this whole thing of like, well, maybe you'd have synthetic robot children.
Right.
But it's the Alex's whole thing is it's about torturing a soul.
Sure.
Is what appeases Satan.
In order to get the,
And in order to get adrenochrome.
Right.
You have to scare a child. And if you just had synthetic children, it wouldn't work.
I just don't think it's fair for you to fucking outlaw abortion and then be like, well, it's going to be a Children of Men scenario. Like, fuck you. No.
It is a little.
No.
It's a little annoying.
Unfair.
Also, a small note. When Alex says aluminum aerosol spraying at the end there, he's saying chemtrails in a way that he wants to make it look like he's not saying chemtrails.
That's what he was saying.
Yes,
great.
He was definitely saying chemtrails.
Cool. What an asshole.
Yeah, he sucks.
Coward.
Yep. So, hey, look, the humans are going to be killed off. We're all going to be killed off.
Sure.
But not just us.
Wait, not just us? Well, I mean, yeah, the biosphere is going to fucking die in like 5 years. 90% of all species are going to go extinct within the next 5 to 10 years.
And you know who that's really going to hit hard?
People.
The bugs.
Damn!
And the same thing's happening when you go on a trip in the summer or in the spring and you live in places that have a lot of bugs like Minnesota or Texas or Florida. And just 25 years ago, when I would drive to our family ranch in East Texas in the spring or summer, I would have to pull over repeatedly and get a squeegee at a gas station in a 3.5 hour trip and squeegee dead bugs off, or they would harden like hardened egg if you leave it in the bottom of a plate. You know how hard it is to get out. Their guts would harden on the windshield. Now, I can drive in the spring or summer in Texas, and there might be one bug on my windshield. One bug.
This makes it sound like Alex has had some experience with his car being egged.
That's what I got from that. Yeah, well, that's fair.
So many scientists do believe that insect populations are declining, but Alex's windshield is not really the best gauge for that. Not very scientific. It tracks that this would be how he would prove his point, though, since everything in this show is just anecdotal and based on some fucking hunch Alex has.
Yeah.
The reality of the insect situation isn't so easy to sum up in a quick blurb, so suffice it to say that some species are on a decline and some aren't.
Yeah.
The numbers are really worrying, except for in the realm of water-based insects, which seem to be doing fine. They're doing quite well.
They're going to crush it because everything else is going to die around them and they're going to have plenty of food.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Largely, what is attributed to this is like improvements made to freshwater habitats.
Sure.
Freshwater insects are doing better because of clean water legislation and regulations.
Yeah. Well, we're going to kill them.
It's really hard to tell exactly what the declines are caused by, but according to an article about this in the BBC, quote, scientists say there's no smoking gun on insect declines, but they find the destruction of natural habitats due to urbanization to be the key.
That would make sense.
An important caveat to make is that this idea of like a widespread population decline in insects isn't a consensus opinion. Almost everyone I can find does believe that there are insect populations that are at risk, but there isn't agreement about how universal this is based on the data sets that are available. Another thing that does seem to be widely agreed on is that the populations that are going down are largely going down due to urbanization, climate change, and modern farming techniques. What no one except one guy thinks is that there's a globalist plot to kill all the bugs.
Right.
That's,
Yeah, I mean, okay. As a uninteresting story, when I was a kid, there were a lot of bugs, and now I'm an adult, and there are only one bug. That's fine.
Sure.
But if you use any kind of thing like that to prove a point, you're done. Immediately done.
Well, it's actually...
I'm done with you.
But from what I was reading, there is like, they call it the windshield effect. And the people they do notice this.
Sure.
So it is something
that's
a phenomenon that people have in their brain.
Again, and I'm fine with that, but that is still an unacceptable way of making a point to me.
It should make you think like, huh, and then look into it more.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to be like, well, this proves it.
Somebody should not be in a conversation with me being like, no, here's how I know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know? No. Yeah. Get out of here.
So Alex is going to get to the news, but he's not.
So I cover all this other news, and I will. The war in Ukraine escalating out of control, and the suppression of Nestor's film, 2,000 Mules, that totally proves how they carried out the election fraud.
What?
And so much more today. And we're going to take phone calls throughout the 4 hours. But you got to read the Bible about a fallen entity on the planet that's eternal.
You gotta.
That hates us because we're related to the all-powerful, omnipresent being that marooned it here. And it is angry at us, and it is attacking us and manipulating us and trying to get us to give up our humanity and give up our souls. And you can look back and say, well, that's just a book in the Bible that predicted a world government with ten kingdoms and sure. flying ships. And
that's how many there are.
Just everything you see and a mark in the hand and forehead to buy and sell and the breakup of the family and everything that's happening exactly as it's happening.
I think that if you're trying to express that you believe that the Bible is full of accurate predictions and this is what you've got, you're doing a really bad job. The first thing Alex points to is world government, which doesn't exist, regardless of how many times Alex insists that it does. The second thing is the Bible says there's going to be 10 kingdoms.
How many are there, Dan?
Well, like, even if Alex is trying to claim that the UN is the world government, there's not 10 regions in the UN, there are 5. The African group, the Asia and Pacific group, the Eastern European group, the Latin America and Caribbean group, and the Western European and others group. I guess if the Bible predicted flying ships, then I have to concede that that one was spot on.
Yeah.
I guess. There is not a mark in people's hands and foreheads to buy and sell, so that one hasn't come true.
Nope.
And the family has not been broken up. People still have families.
I've seen them all the time.
They're everywhere,
down
these families.
The street, I was walking from the train. Mm-hmm. I saw like 5 of these families on a windshield.
And they're in so many TV shows.
Now, admittedly, when I was a kid, there'd be 30 or 40 families on a windshield.
Sure. Alex is trying to strengthen his argument that the devil is attacking him by pointing to these things that the Bible has gotten right, and that's what he comes up with. Truth be told, I think that if he knew the Bible better, he could come up with a much better list. There's a whole lot of text in that book, and there are some things that could be seen as accurate predictions, but Alex just doesn't know any of that stuff.
No.
The only Bible verses he seems to know are the ones that he can use to support gun rights,
yep.
and ones that he probably read in like a John Birch Society newsletter decrying the one world communist government that Eisenhower was setting up.
Well, Thomas Jefferson did have a lot to do with writing the Bible, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of quotes from Jefferson
yep.
in that book.
Yep, good old TJ.
Psalms is all just Jefferson. Yep.
Yep,
definitely. So, Alex has some feelings about January 6th, of course.
Sure.
And he thinks he's going to be blamed for that, that whole thing.
Was it his fault?
No, okay. Certainly not.
Okay.
And he has some rebuttals.
All right.
Washington Post articles, Wall Street Journal articles, New York Times articles this weekend that specifically say the committee is honing in on Roger Stone and Alex Jones for working with Trump and directing people to attack the Capitol. 100% BS. A, we don't have a motive. It made us look like fools. B, there's no evidence of it because it's not true. And C, I wasn't talking to President Trump for over a year before that ever happened. And Roger Stone was not involved in any of the planning of even our legal lawful events on the 5th or the 6th.
It's fun how, like, Trump is my buddy, I have his personal phone number, turns to, I hadn't talked to him in over a
Never
year.
Never seen that
when
guy.
Shit
Listen,
gets hot.
That guy, yeah. frankly, mm-hmm. he's an absentee father to me.
And Roger Stone didn't know shit.
Roger Stone? How could Roger Stone know
he
anything?
He wasn't involved in anything.
Wait, what connections does he have now, to granted, the people who organized
he
the...
He ran the Stop the Steal stuff
sure.
in the 2016 election
sure.
that worked with Ali Alexander on the Stop the Steal stuff in the 2020 election.
Now that looks bad.
Oh, sure. Yeah, when Ali Alexander got his fraudulent permit to have his event right next to the White House and Stop the Steal rally there. Oh, yeah, that's Roger probably had no idea about any
of
that stuff.
I'm going to throw this out at
probably
you.
Probably had nothing to do
I'm going
to
throw this yeah. out at you.
Okay.
If after the fact you look like a fool, that does not mean you have no motive for the crime.
No, because if it had gone differently, you might not look like a fool. You might look like the people in charge of a junta.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's not a... No, you're... Motive is very clear. You wanted to overthrow the United States government.
Well, maybe not Alex's specifically, but the larger...
In order to install Trump as yeah. permanent dictator.
The larger community had certainly some of those goals.
Yeah.
People such as the Oath Keepers.
Sure.
And I think Alex is a little bit touchy...
Never heard of them.
...about communications.
Never met one.
Had.
Who are they?
Oath Keepers are talking to prosecutors, and they're exposing their communications, and it's going to go all the way up to Trump.
Probably.
they might as well say they're communications with the Martians. And then I know the individuals that they're talking about because I've seen them in the press. I've met some of them. And I like Oath Keepers overall. I think they had a good mission to promote following your oath. And they did great work for over a decade. I think some bad things happened on January 6th. We're not sure all the specifics. What we know was a honeypot provocateur. But I know some of the people they're quoting here as saying they're talking to the feds and they're going to expose the chain of command. And I just find it hard to believe that those people would actually make stuff up and lie.
Who do you know, Alex?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, who do you know? Do you know these Oath Keepers who pled guilty to seditious conspiracy?
Yeah,
because,
man.
Because Stuart Rhodes isn't saying he's turning.
Nope.
Who do you know, Alex? Who are you saying you know?
That's not good. Yeah. That's not good. I can't believe these people would lie. Oh, so what's the truth they're telling about you?
Yeah. Yeah, so Alex seems a little bit defensive about just the idea. Because this, I think, is what's inspiring this conversation on his show, is that there is this news of the Oath Keeper gentleman who pled guilty.
Sure.
Who in the statement of his offense, it does include that part of Stuart Rhodes calling somebody to try and get in touch.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I read about that. Yeah.
And so I think Alex is a little bit touchy about these communications.
So getting back to where we are, there's all these headlines everywhere. Oath Keepers are talking to the feds. Oath Keepers are discussing with the feds, conversations with Trump, stuff like this, when none of that happened. None of that went on. And then the controlled left goes, look, Jones is protecting the Don, his mafia boss.
So wait, Alex said that he hasn't spoken to Trump in over a year at this point. So how would he know if there was or wasn't communication between any of the Oath Keeper folks and people in Trump's orbit? Like, he wouldn't have any idea about that. So this blanket denial isn't persuasive.
Roger Stone told him that Donald Trump never talked to anybody.
But Roger wasn't involved in anything that
day. Well, I mean,
fifth
sure.
or the sixth.
Roger wasn't involved in that, involved with telling Trump.
So
you know, that
does Alex know from the people who pled guilty to seditious conspiracy that they were talking to Trump?
Sure.
Wow, that might be of interest to the committee.
That's not good. That's
maybe
not good.
He should be talking to the
Could be having trouble here.
Yeah.
This could be trouble. I would have pled the fifth if I were him.
On his own show,
yeah.
I don't know anything about this, but Alex feels hyper-defensive about the idea of Oath Keeper communications. We know that Stewart tried to get in touch with Trump through an intermediary who refused to put him in contact, and there's very, very slim chance that that could be Alex. I think that there's a very, very, very tiny chance. I would not bet on it. I don't think that that's the case.
No.
I think that Alex is more defensive because if there is like sort of a straighter line between Trump and the Oath Keepers, this whole thing looks real bad.
Well, I mean, goddamn, it's terrible to think, but Mark Meadows probably.
It could just be that Alex recognizes that this is damning stuff and that a guy who's been a guest on his show for over a decade was trying to contact the president to have him authorize his paramilitary group to overthrow the government by force. And then Alex had that guy on his show repeatedly after January 6th to create conspiracy theories about how it was really Antifa who did the rioting.
Right.
Whatever the reality is here or what the full shape of it is, there's a nerve that's been touched.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, we do know, however, that it was a honeypot provocateur who got them to do all of that stuff that they wanted to do and were going to do when they got there, regardless of whether or not there was a honeypot provocateur.
Right. Stewart was just trying to get in touch with Trump in order to be like, hey, can I just do this honeypot thing?
Hey, buddy.
Can I take the bait on this?
I just want to take the bait on this honeypot, you know? Listen, they laid out a honeypot. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put my hand in there.
I've been trying to get the recipe for this honeypot. For a very long time. Yeah. I'm not convinced.
Here's Roger Stone like Eeyore.
Oh, bother.
Oh.
Wait, that's Pooh.
That's Pooh. Yeah.
Shit.
That's Eeyore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Alex goes to commercial, and he comes back from break, and typically the Greg Reese and John Bowne reports play in that first segment of an hour where it's not broadcast.
Where it's not actually real.
This time he plays a report on the main body of the show from Greg Reese, and so I accidentally listened to a little bit.
Ooh.
And oh god.
Uh-oh.
The letter from Albert Pike regarding the Illuminati plan for three world wars is largely considered a hoax due to the use of the word Nazism in a letter dated 1871.
But is it?
But it is interesting to note the desired outcome of this alleged plan.
Why?
According to the letter, the Third War officially started on 9/11 and was intended to leave the people in a state of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion.
The letter from 1876.
They will then use nihilists, atheists, and revolutionaries to create a cataclysm of social turmoil. And they will do this in order to force the people into exterminating the destroyers of civilization. According to this letter, this bloodbath would result in the destruction of both Christianity and atheism, and lead to the pure doctrine of Lucifer as the new world religion. And it does appear as if this is happening now.
Really? So the letter doesn't say that 9/11. It just says that, like, Muslims and the Zionists
will clash. Oh, fucking fuck me.
So, great. Yeah.
Okay. So that's
broad
what 9/11 was. That's what 9/11 was.
It was the
Muslims and the
Zionists
clashing.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So generally speaking, when I hear anybody bring up Albert Pike, I tune the fuck out of that conversation. And I have the same response to hearing Greg Reese's voice. But for some reason, I decided to listen to a little bit of this, and this is amazing.
It's because of the fucking track. That is dope. Now I want a Reese and fucking Jamie XX collaboration, man. That would be a solid
album.
Featuring
Buckley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Featuring Cousin Buckley.
Yeah, get it in there.
So Reese has decided to do a special report where the premise is, hey, this letter is definitely a hoax, but maybe it's still prophetic.
You mean, yeah, right? Isn't that the premise?
What a take.
Hey, listen, this is bullshit, but what if it's not?
What an amazing take. So the fake letter that Reese is covering is widely understood to be the creation of a guy named William Guy Carr, since the earliest form of the letter can be found in his 1958 book, Pawns in the Game. Carr was a really influential figure in terms of pushing out some early New World Order conspiracy theories, but of course, also is a big old anti-Semite. He quoted heavily from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion in his books, and his book was distributed by Noontide Press, an anti-Semitic publisher that was founded by Willis Cardo, the founder of the Liberty Lobby. Yeah.
God damn it!
He's everywhere.
These fuckers are everywhere!
Yep. The press was meant to be the publishing outlet for Cardo's other group, the Institute for Historical Review, which is considered one of the largest disseminators of Holocaust denial content in the world. Perhaps not surprisingly, in 2009, a former Noontide Press employee, James von Brunn, carried out a shooting at the Holocaust Memorial Museum.
That would make sense.
I point this out because it's important to understand that the fake letter that Reese is talking about isn't just a fake letter. It's a fake letter being written by an anti-Semite to push an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. So whether he realizes it or not, what Reese is doing is taking an anti-Semitic hoax, which uses earlier anti-Semitic hoaxes as citations, and using it to suggest to his audience that while it's demonstrably not a real letter that Albert Pike wrote, maybe there's an underlying truth to it.
Right.
Which is shitty.
Right.
He does bad work. He sucks.
This is like a fucking bacteria evolving in a cesspool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just oh, God.
What's remarkable about it, too, is like, why did you do, why is that a special report? Is this in the news?
Whose idea was it?
Right.
Who pitched that in what meeting? Where?
I think Greg Reese probably did.
He has to.
This guy is ambitious.
What is he, why? Also, when is it a good idea to be like, all right, this obviously fake thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously fake.
Right.
Yeah, but what if it was right?
But I mean, that's kind of how a lot of these conspiracy fucks deal with the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. They're like, yeah.
Do they admit it's fake?
Some do.
Oh,
some
I
don't,
was gonna
some
say.
Do.
I thought most of them still thought it was all the way real.
I think that people who have more of a mind for optics admit that it's fake because it's so very clearly
it's
a hoax.
Very, very clearly.
But the ones that do will fall back on like, yeah, it's a hoax. But it's actually talking about stuff that's really going on. There's a real dynamic
here. It is through the medium of hoax that they tell the truth.
Right. So I think that there's a lot of that, trying to save whatever can be salvaged from the wreckage of a hoax.
Sure. So Reese is going for the Pike hoax.
Yeah, probably.
Brutal.
So, you know, this Supreme Court opinion leaked last week.
Yeah.
And
people are doing great with it.
Mm-hmm. We know that it's Antifa that did it. Antifa working as a clerk in a Supreme Court office.
Oh, it was Antifa who leaked it.
Yes.
That's the most important part about all of this, of course, is the sanctity of the opinions coming from the Supreme Court.
I do think that Alex has, for the most part, not made that the headline, you know, about the leak stuff.
Right.
Not saying, hey, the leak is what's important.
Right.
But now Alex is putting on his detective cap.
Uh-huh.
He's figured out who did this.
Who did it?
Who done it?
Has he gathered all of the suspects there around a table to slowly tease out who did the crime?
I introduce you to Hercule Jones.
I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on, and it's not my opinion, we know. I believe John Roberts is the one that leaked the draft.
Wow,
we know
we
he's
agree.
Compromised and blackmailed, basically a deep standard Democrat posing as a Republican. We know that since February of last year, it's come out, he sat on the Supreme Court ruling, using the power of a Chief Justice to block the court from ruling. They began to get very upset about it in the last year. And so now it's been leaked. To not make Americans come together against the mask mandates, the forced injections, the open borders, and the inflation, and the wars, and the pedophilia, and all the rest of it. But to make everybody fight going into the election about abortion.
Yeah, so John Roberts released this in order to get people fighting before the midterms, because I guess he wants Democrats to win.
I mean, my theory on why it was John Roberts is because none of the other justices, if it is a justice and not like a clerk, which it's more likely to be a clerk or something along those lines. But if it is a justice, John Roberts is the only one who would do it.
I'm making a weird face at
okay,
you because I would like you to explain yourself.
I will explain. So the other liberal justices who signed on the opinion have known what's going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they suddenly choose this point in time to do it, right? The conservative justices have been masturbating furiously since they got to sign that, right? Mm-hmm. Nonstop, blood everywhere, you know, that kind of thing. But John Roberts is, if you look at his career, obsessed with the court itself and trying to make sure that it maintains this air of being a legitimate part of the government.
Right.
And if they overturn abortion, which they will do, then it's very obvious, even to John Roberts, this Supreme Court is fucking stupid.
Well, but
it's
see,
dumb.
But even by your own reasoning, that kind of would be an argument why Roberts didn't do it, because he's such a fan of the institution of the court that he wouldn't leak a document.
Right, but he's the only one who thinks that the opinion could be changed. But if he leaks the document.
But if you're talking about him honoring the sanctity of the court and all this, then it seems like that wouldn't be a behavior he would engage in.
Who's going to catch him?
You, apparently, and Alex.
Well, I mean, nah. Yeah, exactly. Yes, the two most listened to people in the world.
I think it's more likely that it was a cat burglar.
We ruled out that it's
possible that it was a cat burglar.
It's more likely that it's a staffer from somebody. But if it was going to be a Supreme Court justice who did it, which would be silly.
Okay, so I may go along with you if that's what you're stipulating. If you're stipulating
that it has
to be a Supreme Court justice.
Only a Supreme Court justice
maybe,
could have done it.
Maybe he is the most likely candidate of Supreme Court justices.
Yes.
But in the totality of possible people.
Probably not him. Yes. That's my stipulation.
But Alex isn't saying that this is an opinion.
Absolutely
he said he's
not. 100% it is him who did it. Yes.
Yeah. Which I think will be interesting to see how that plays out.
We'll see.
So someone who was recently found not guilty.
Yeah.
Although I don't think that's actually what happened.
Right. Well, it wasn't Jesus. He was found very guilty.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, though.
Oh, she was found not guilty?
Well, she gets to run in her election.
Why?
I don't know.
She did all the crimes they said she did.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of Marjorie Taylor Greene, it was called a big win Friday afternoon when the judge said, after putting her through the ringer, that the Democrat Party lawsuit trying to block her from being able to run for office was unconstitutional.
Despite its constitutionality.
She's done nothing wrong. She won her last election in a landslide. She's an amazing lady of courage
and
intelligence.
Green was facing an accusation of participating in an insurrection, which would have made her ineligible to be reelected.
Right.
Nothing involving this case was unconstitutional. It was just decided that the people prosecuting the case didn't provide sufficient evidence. Big picture, though, she lied a whole bunch in that hearing. And also, she won her last election by a wide margin because it's a district that swings heavily Republican and because her opponent had dropped out of the race.
Man, I mean, it is very funny how little consequences there are for anything if you have money or power. Like, none.
Mm.
It is disgusting,
but
to the point where people are losing their minds.
I think that it's there should be some sort of a consequence for the blatant lying that went on.
There will
but
be.
But I do also think that while I agree that she should not be running, there should be a very high standard that must be met in order to block someone from running for office.
Right.
Because I think that the alternative of allowing that to be done on a sort of roughshod basis.
Sure.
I think that the damage that would do would be like really bad.
Now, let me throw this out at you. Okay. So if somebody was very clearly, there's tons of evidence that she was associated with the movement and was in contact with him on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we've got that established. And then the other stuff that we don't have established, we know for a fact she lied about on the stand. Those two combined,
mm-hmm.
I think, are enough.
Well, if you can't convince a court of that, then that's kind of on you.
Yes.
So,
well,
you know.
Exactly.
But look, Alex has some ideas about why she wasn't found guilty or why she should be able to run. And once again, I mean, just like on our last episode, we found that he has no idea what the Constitution says.
Right.
And once again, he is showing his ass.
Bananas.
All the other cases brought against more than a dozen members of Congress, like Gozer and others, the judges said it's unconstitutional. I'm not going to hear it on its face. If they were convicted felons, then you can say they can't run. And I think that's even unconstitutional. I think once you've done your time, you should be able to run for office.
I have great news for Alex.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anything about the Constitution.
Nope.
Because I guess he thinks that people who have been convicted of a felony can't run. And
you
that's
can be
definitely
a slave,
not true.
But you can also still run for election.
You can run for any federal office, even if you're a felon. And as Fact Check even points out, quote, in 1798, Representative Matthew Lyon ran for Congress from prison and won. He assumed his seat in Congress after serving 4 months in prison. It's different for state-level offices depending on the state, but that doesn't have to do with the Constitution, and Alex is talking about members of the U.S. Congress, so it's all federal-level shit. He just doesn't know anything about this document that he pretends to love so much and he's willing to die for.
No
shit.
Well, the document keeps people from doing stuff like what he wants to do, of course he doesn't know anything about it.
He should take a civics class.
Oh my God, that would cause a fucking explosion.
He might resign from his own job that he runs himself.
He would resign from that class.
As it relates to the case against Gosar, this was a judge from Phoenix who dismissed the suit that was seeking to bar him, Andy Biggs, and Mark Fincham from being on the ballot because they participated in an insurrection.
Right.
The judge interpreted the rule that's included in the 14th Amendment to require a conviction for participation to bar someone from running, so that case was thrown out. Different states make different decisions, so this with Marjorie Taylor Greene, that was how a judge in Georgia decided to proceed. There's nothing unconstitutional about it, but it did ultimately reach a similar conclusion. And Alex should be thrilled with this, since it illustrates the ways that states are able to determine their own policies for themselves and operate outside the control of the federal government that he hates so much.
Sure.
So, fuck, what are you complaining about, Dick?
I think it's unconstitutional.
Great.
For the states to act in different from the... Wait, I think it's constitutional for the federal government to tell states that they can't act... Wait, no. What's his position on the Constitution?
Blah.
Okay, that's a good... Yep, mm-hmm. Got it.
So, Alex goes to calls.
Sure.
And this is where things kind of fall off the rails.
That sounds right.
Because as you'll recall... What would it have been? Quite a while back.
So I don't recall.
Alex gave the people behind QAnon like a week to unveil themselves.
Yes, that's right. I do remember
that. Or else
that.
He was
yes.
going to name them, and
yes.
then he never did.
And then he never did.
Yeah.
Yep. That one was fun.
This caller brings that up. And, yeah, Alex.
How does it go?
Well, we'll see.
Adam in Oklahoma has a question. He says, who is Q? Would you like to elaborate on that, and then I'll tell you who Q is.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. I appreciate you taking my call. A few years ago, you painted some broad brush strokes about who Q was and how possibly it had exchanged hands and things like that. And at one point, you threatened that if they didn't come out and say who they were themselves, that you were going to do it. And, you know, I can't listen all the time, but maybe you did cover it at some point. But I never did hear names named about who Q is.
So, yeah, one thing that I think is fascinating about this clip is that it clearly shows that Alex always talks about how he doesn't screen calls.
Yeah.
But, like, he knows this guy's call before he even talks to him.
Yep.
So, obviously, whatever the call screening process is, Alex sees the question that the person's going to ask
yep.
before they come on. And so that kind of invalidates his entire thing.
Pretty much.
Now, here's Alex's answer, and boy, it's not good.
But I never did hear names named about who Q is.
Well, I'm on record saying that Q was lying, that Trump would be back in office on January 20th. And
right. Not an answer.
Do you have names of who Q is?
Well let me talk for a second, okay?
So that's a no?
Q is such a horrible thing that I hate to even talk about it.
Oh, okay. Sure, sure.
That pause could not have said more to me.
Yeah.
That was the loudest pause I've ever heard. It was screaming in my ear. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't remember saying that.
Why did I
don't
take
know
this
who
call?
I'm going to make up to do this.
What am I doing? I need a new call
what
screener.
What is happening?
This sucks.
He was so prepared to tell the person who Q was, but he was not prepared to have to say that there was a previous callback to when he said this earlier.
Right, right. I mean, like, this is not just like someone randomly saying, hey, tell me who Q is.
Uh-uh.
This is him saying, hey, Alex, you said you were going to unveil who these people are, and you
uh-huh.
never did that. Who
yep.
are the names?
Oh, yeah.
And Alex, well... Q's bad.
So I'm on record as saying that Q is not telling the truth. Oh, boy.
Oh,
this
shit.
Is not going to go well.
Yeah,
so I've already run out of gas.
He doesn't give a great answer.
Q is such a horrible thing that I hate to even talk about it. All right? Q is anonymous. So it's when people would call in and ask me, who
what?
Is the anonymous hacking group? It's any group wants to call themselves anonymous. It's the same thing with Q. It's called esoterica or occult. Occult means hidden. When you see the movie Eyes Wide Shut, based on real things that went on, when they go to the satanic orgy where the woman's killed, you don't know who anyone is. They're wearing masks.
Ah.
It all makes sense now. Now I get
hey,
it.
Hey, you know what's an unsatisfying answer to who is Q? Q is anonymous.
Everyone. And no one. And some people, and anyone who wants to be, but then they can also stop.
Guy Fox is Q.
All are Q.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's shit.
So Alex doesn't really have an answer, but he does call it a... The question of who is Q is a... he uses a racially charged
great.
Term here.
No reason not to.
It's not good.
And so it's a tar baby... Because people
wow.
love a puzzle. They love a scavenger.
Fucking wow. Hunt.
And they want to feel like they're part of something magic and secretly getting orders from President Trump and that everything was fine and everybody was going to get arrested and Trump was going to end up being emperor and everything was fine and
it's
it was
completely
all
different
a delusion
from what I do.
To make people think everything was okay so the Democrats could steal the election. And yes, I do know what happened with Q. I do know who started it. I do know what happened with it, but no one wants the truth, so I won't tell you. How about that?
This caller asked.
What?
No one wants to know. This caller
what?
Specifically is asking you who it is.
God damn it. That caller, even at the beginning, was like, listen, I can't listen all the time, so maybe you revealed it when I wasn't listening. So that gave you an out.
Mm-hmm.
He was overly polite.
Yes.
He was doing his best, even though he knew for a fact that you never fucking said it.
I don't know that to be the case. I think this caller seems, like, from the other things he says, I think this caller seems like a polite
sure.
person. I think
very polite.
I think this might be just a, hey, you know, maybe you didn't say it.
Maybe. Could be. Maybe,
like,
it's genuine.
I find it offensive for Alex to take a direct question,
uh-huh.
what is A?
Right.
And then him be like, look, I know what A is, but no one wants to know, so how about I don't say?
Right. Tip of the spear.
Direct question,
tomorrow's
you prick.
News today.
Yeah. But he can't say.
No.
It seems to me like it's just time to take the mask off this Cobra Commander. If there is names to name, that they create this boogeyman, and if the government wanted to know who it was, they would find out, you know, in days if they wanted to. But they don't want to say it.
Yeah, you know, I'm in a unique position to know things a lot of people don't know, and
Are
in many
you?
Cases to protect the innocent. I'm not going to say who started it.
But to protect the innocent.
I was only in control of it for about a month. And then it got taken away by a bunch of disinfo experts and operatives. right out of the CIA. And that's a fact. And I've got a track record of being accurate about that. So here's what happened with Q.
I'm excited to hear what happened with Q, but I don't know how much more clear Alex can make it to the audience that he doesn't have any specific information. He's just only interested in speaking in vague platitudes that can't be proven or disproven.
Mm-hmm.
In the span of this call, he's given multiple excuses for why he can't say the names of who is Q, because he doesn't have a name to give. And if he gives a name, he'd be stuck with that being his story. Specificity is the enemy of conspiracists, and Alex knows that super well. If he says a name and that name is somehow disproven as being Q, he looks really bad. If he wiggles around and makes up fake excuses for why he totally knows the truth but he isn't going to say it, he can trick most of the audience into thinking that he's telling the truth and there's some compelling reason that he's not saying anything.
Sure.
It's honestly a very similar dynamic to what he's complaining about with Q. He's saying that people love the mystery of it and the unknown.
Yeah.
Alex is just exploiting the exact same thing in his listeners.
Mm-hmm.
His shit's only intriguing until he gives a name, and then it's boring as hell, because who cares?
Yeah, what is he going to say? Oh, it's the Watkinses. Like,
it's Boris Johnson.
Yeah, the end. Great.
Until he says that name, you can trick yourself into thinking that he's got deep levels of intel and he's holding back for some serious consideration, but much like you, it's all bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
It's all just a what-if game. And I think that Alex is a bit of a pro here, because he starts trying to explain what Q is, and I think he realizes that, like, there's not really anywhere to go with this.
Right.
So I'm going to have to do something different in order to change the conversation.
Here's what happened with Q. We were very successful exposing the child kidnapping ring, Satanism angle of the Democratic Party, WikiLeaks. Was very, very successful at releasing real information. Remember that in the run-up to the election 2016?
Hey, someone on the inside was giving out accurate information. That's
okay,
sure.
I'm going to start over.
So there's a bit of a, like, annoyance at the caller there.
Yeah.
But Alex asked the caller a question.
Yeah.
He said, do you remember that from the 2016 election?
Right.
And the caller responded to that.
Yes.
In a way that makes sense based on the question that was asked. Now this is, I've got to start over. As if this somehow derails him or whatever. And that's the beginning of him just lashing out at this caller.
Great.
Because that's the new game. The new game is no longer, hey, I'm
I don't
not
know
saying.
Who, I have no idea who Q is.
Right.
And if I do, I don't want to tell
so
you.
So now I'm just going to get mad at you.
That's the way you do it.
Over. Because the whole Q thing, we could talk for hours about this, so this may take me a while to go over.
And you'll forget what it was you asked it when I'm done.
I'm bugging my throat here, sorry. You know, here's the thing about the Q deal. I lay out exactly what's going on and nobody cares. Every caller I talk to like you, and I'm not mad at you. When I sit here and I'm telling you specific stuff, I say, did you hear what I just said? And you responded back with, I know somebody was giving out accurate information.
What? Now what do you want?
I mean, look, I love you, Adam. Did you hear what I just said in the lead up to that? What did I say to you right before you responded back with, yeah, I know somebody was giving out good information?
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous. I might have.
No. It's okay. It's okay. You understand that we lost the country because of Q?
Yes, sir.
Oof.
Oh, my God.
That's not
How
cool.
How dare you say yes, sir, like you were being dressed down.
He was being dressed down.
Yeah, but it's by a fucking moron.
Right, but if it's a moron that you've been tricked into looking up
Ugh.
To.
Ugh.
So Alex has done what he can to not be held to his word from back when he said that he was going to expose Q by name if they didn't publicly reveal themselves, and it's honestly been a little bit underwhelming. Alex decided to launch into a big thing about his interpretation of Q stuff, and the caller said something, which is perfect for him. Now Alex can lash out and emotionally abuse this caller instead of having to say anything of substance. Before the caller said anything, Alex had only said that he'd been successful in getting sex trafficking information out and that WikiLeaks had released information about the 2016 election. There wasn't anything, like, there was a revealing specific in there that this caller had failed to grasp, and the caller was asked a question, and Alex didn't say, did you hear me? He said, do you remember that?
Yep.
It was just Alex, like, presenting the situation differently that just happened a minute ago so he can berate him.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
Yeah, this is what weak bullies do.
Yes.
Yep.
This is just also another distraction tactic that he's employing.
Yeah.
Alex feels kind of called out about how he said he was going to name Q, and he knows that he can't do that, so he's got to spin some plates. And it's just horrible that one of the plates he's deciding to go with is making this caller feel like Alex isn't able to make his points because of him. Like, it's his fault somehow.
Yeah.
This is abusive.
Yeah, no, that's textbook abuse.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it really couldn't be much more gaslightery than that.
It happens fast,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it does.
In the span of this call.
Yeah.
Woof.
Jesus, man.
So Alex talks about Q for quite a while now.
Sure he does.
You understand that we lost the country because of Q?
Yes, sir.
And I had to put up with the Q people all over the place. And I'm tired of it. So I'm not mad at you.
I couldn't steal their shit.
And the damn Q people were the ones that manipulated some people to go into the damn Capitol and worked with the feds.
Wait, I thought it was a honeypot.
Q is the worst people on earth at the top. Q is the New World Order. Q is a psyop to lead us around by our noses. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to start over.
Start over.
I mean, take the Q shaman. I know him. I know filmmakers that know his family. He's not a bad guy. He's completely schizophrenic.
I feel like all this makes it all the more important for Alex to name names so the world can know who it is that's using this New World Order psyop to hurt people and mislead so many folks.
It couldn't be more important. People. They destroyed the world. It's because of them that we lost America. Give us their names.
He's making an argument against his own position.
I mean, this is bananas.
I would dare say that if revealing who this person or group is would lead to some people being freed from the delusions that are involved in that Q bullshit, Alex has a moral obligation to name names.
Yeah.
He's not going to, though, because he doesn't have any names.
Nope.
He just has bullshit vagaries and feelings. He has outbursts to shield his ignorance, but if you pay attention to what's actually being discussed, it's so transparent what he's doing here. This is just
pathetic.
Pathetic. Yep.
Oh, man. He should be really ashamed of himself.
I don't know if he's able to access those feelings.
It's really lucky that he doesn't have the capacity for shame.
True.
Yeah.
It'd be in a box.
He'd be fucked.
Yeah. But look, I mean, everyone cares about Q, but they don't care about Alex's COVID stuff enough, apparently.
Oh, no.
Here's my frustration. I can give you the emails and the documents, and I've shown them on air probably 50 times, where Peter Daszak and Bill Gates and the rest of these criminals are openly creating COVID-19 and talking about releasing it, and no one cares, and no one listens, and no one knows about it. But if it's some magic made-up Huff the Magic Dragon Q thing, everybody knows about it and wants to talk about the minutia all day. So I'm going to start over. Don't hang up, Adam, when we come back.
Yeah, so they don't care enough about his COVID. So I think people have responded quite well to that.
You got $3 million.
I think his COVID shit is going quite well. This is just another dodge. There's something about this that Alex really wants to distract from, and I think it's just that he doesn't know shit and he can't name someone without risking another possible defamation lawsuit.
Mm.
Alex probably knows that if he names someone as Q, they're probably going to get a certain amount of harassment because of it, possibly even escalating to violence. Because he's presenting this as not a guess, but as a known fact, he'd probably bear a little bit more responsibility if this happened, so he knows that that is not a path he can go down.
Yeah, no, if you've said that they're the reason you lost the country, and they're a globalist,
and they caused January 6th to make us all look bad,
and then you give their name,
yeah,
that person's probably going to die.
Well, if at least get a lot of death threats,
yep,
for sure.
Yep.
At the same time, based on what Alex has presented on his show, there's literally no reason not to name these people. Q is a psyop that's leading good people astray. It's run by the New World Order. It's destroying the country, and Alex knows who's behind it. If you're a listener who believes Alex, there's no reason not to name names, but because Alex can't, he has to create a reason, and that's what you're seeing here. Alex is just moving around trying to find an emotionally satisfying reason for why he can't name Q, and he's coming up short.
Well, I mean, and in this situation, that person, it's inarguable that if you believe what Alex is saying, you should go kill that person.
Well, yeah.
You know?
True.
Like, in that's why he cannot give a name.
Mm-hmm.
Because based on what he's just said, a name would be a death sentence to that person a true believer.
Well, sure. I mean, I guess the way you'd get around that or something is like, it's not so much a death sentence as it is you should be tried for treason. And
sure.
Formal proceedings.
Yeah, they're huge into formal proceedings.
They are. It's in the Constitution.
Yeah. That's what they love.
But whatever the case is, you'd put this person in significant danger.
Yeah.
And Alex is pretty keen right now to not get sued again because... Yeah. He has some pretty relevant recent experience with that. So
yeah.
I'm fascinated by this thing.
How vehement he is towards Q or
no. That makes sense. He lost a lot of money
exactly.
on that.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that this caller is asking that, and Alex needs to do like an hour, half an hour on this.
Yeah.
Like instead of just sort of brushing aside the question, he needs to do this because it's something that if he didn't, the caller or the audience would just be like, "Why? What's going on?"
Yeah.
He said that he's going to reveal these people in the past. Mm-hmm. He's being reminded of this on air. So now he has to do a huge show out of this to make sure that people don't remember that piece of it.
Exactly.
They have to remember something else.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's where we are.
By doing that, you forced Alex to put on a big smoke screen of a performance and then disappear into the woods.
Basically,
you know?
Yeah. And so Alex comes back from break and he apologizes to this caller, of course, because that's what abusers do. And then talks a little bit more about what he knows about Q.
All right, getting serious. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Alex Jones Show. And I apologize to Adam from Oklahoma, who asked a very reasonable question, and I got angry because when I'm open my brain up and start going back over what all the Q stuff did, it gives me a headache.
And I go, wah.
And the biggest frustration is I know exactly what went on, every damn angle of it. It would take hours to explain. Ugh. And people don't seem to care.
You have hours.
Real hardcore documents.
Your show is hours long.
If you want to believe some nebulous thing, knock yourselves out. Some nebulous thing that led the country into destruction and that lied to you at every turn. And I'm not talking to Adam, who I'll go back to in a moment. I'm talking to the nice people, a lot of good people, like MTG and General Flynn and myself to a certain extent, knew what was going on with the Q thing and knew that there was a tug of war going on over this anonymous thing. And so, well, let's just try to co-opt it away from the bad guys that are using it and use it for good. And that's what General Flynn tried to do. Okay?
That's fucked
up. Wow. Wait.
So now you're telling me that General Flynn tried to wield the influence over a cult-like following of online folks for his own advantage.
Right.
That seems healthy.
Hi. Real quick point.
If I were Flynn, I probably wouldn't want Alex saying this shit.
Well, I would say that after the 6th, which you have claimed Q orchestrated in order to make you look bad, Flynn still said some Q shit.
True. I think that this may be in some ways an attempt to explain away why Flynn was a huge Q supporter.
Right.
Oh, no. He was trying to take it over for good.
Yeah.
To lead it in the correct direction or whatever.
60% of his guests in the past 6 years have thrown out at least one or two Q things, right?
Probably more than that.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I was being conservative.
Yeah. But Alex tried to convince Flynn to do something that probably would have had drastic consequences.
And I told Flynn he ought to just come out and say he's Q so he could shut up all the disinfo people and actually make Q good, and it would be real if Flynn let it. And I'm not going to get into our off-the-record discussions, but...
You just did.
I mean, that's all the off-the-record
because
discussion
Q
you need.
Q is so nebulous, Flynn wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I think that's... I rarely will accuse General Flynn of having good judgment, but that would be a really fucked up thing for him to do.
Yeah. Yep.
I am Q.
Yeah. There's really no way to reveal yourself as Q without simultaneously kind of sounding like you're revealing yourself as the next Messiah. Mm. You know, like, I am Q. Also, reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm out here. I'm a twofer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a mess.
Yeah, that's not good.
I still don't know who Q is, though. So Alex talks a little bit about how what his relationship with Q was.
I was working years ago trying to fix Q. And I'm going to explain this to you. So I'm going to stop right here. I inspired Q. Paul Joseph Watson did. InfoWars did. In the election, WikiLeaks gave birth to Q. WikiLeaks is real. The pedophilia, the child kidnapping rings that are in the emails with John Podesta and all the rest of it, and Tony Podesta, that's all real.
Pizzagate?
So how do you counter something like that? Well, they come out with saying it's really in a pizza place in D.C., not at farmhouses in New York and Illinois and California.
You did that.
Yep.
So they divert off onto the pizza place that did have a bunch of creepy, weird stuff and did have some of the people involved in stuff going there. And so you kill a real story with a fake story that discredits it.
You had to fire Joe Biggs about Pizzagate coverage.
Wild.
Jack Posobiec was faking being freaked out and almost crying in an interview with Owen Schroyer about Pizzagate stuff. This is so stupid.
Man, you know, it really does explain why all of our history is so fucking stupid, is because the people who won in wars and shit for so long were exactly like Alex, just recontextualizing everything. And
sure.
No. And I know this was a loss and I did look like an idiot, but let me recontextualize to why I'm right, mm-hmm. always was. And in fact, I did not lose.
Well, it's the same thing like on our 2003 episode we just did about him like rewriting this time he was wrong as the globalists tricked him.
Absolutely.
With a headline.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they got me. Yeah.
And also, like, okay, so Alex and his associates did a lot of Pizzagate shit, but also, Alex sold a fucking bumper sticker that said, I am Q.
Yep.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
I do think, I mean, obviously, I know from listening to him and hearing him say various things over the years, he tried to co-opt Q.
Yeah.
But the reason for that was a financial motivation and, like, trying to get this into his revenue stream.
Yeah, I mean, they were a solid...
Now, Alex can rewrite that as, I was trying to do that so they would believe the right things or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's nonsense.
Yeah.
So, Alex, he talks about the formation of Q, but again, no specifics.
Ooh.
And then a lot of patriots, some in the Trump administration and some in U.S. intelligence, saw that InfoWars got major heat for exposing the pedophile rings and Jeffrey Epstein, and they said, let's do it anonymously and put out intel from our people inside the White House when Trump first got elected, and let's really energize the grassroots and have like a secret propaganda arm that tells the truth but releases stuff too hot to handle to the public. And that was a consortium of people in the White House. They tried to do what InfoWars does, but not putting their name on it. Within a month, it got taken away on the 8chan and the 4chan boards by the other side.
So there's a couple problems with this retelling of the story.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that Q was never taken away by 4chan or 8chan. It started on and exclusively posted on 4chan before migrating to 8chan. Everything that Q was happened beginning with cryptic posts made there, which were then interpreted and discussed in other online forums. Basically, what's going on here is that Alex wants his cake and to eat it, too. He wants to keep the general vibe of QAnon because it largely matches his conspiracy worldview, and to attack that too harshly would have blowback on his own dumb ideas.
Yeah.
At the same time, he doesn't want to have to take responsibility for an answer to the fact that Q has consistently been wrong about stuff, and the theories that grow out of that cesspool are embarrassing and dangerous and often anti-Semitic in nature.
Always.
That said, I do agree with Alex that Q was inspired at least in part by him. The whole counter-coup narrative that he and Steve riffed about through most of the lead-up to the 2016 election is really close as a match to a lot of Q's early mythology. It definitely wouldn't be surprising to learn that a lot of that stuff was in some way inspired by Alex's collaborative storytelling. Also, if what Alex is saying is true, then Trump and his administration should be investigated and possibly charged for what they did. Like, they weren't just putting out the truth that was too hot to handle. Like, if anonymous shitposting on 4chan, it was a propaganda effort from the federal government, I don't think that's appropriate.
No, I think Alex himself would find that to be a very disgusting thing for a government to do.
What if Hillary was doing that?
I think he would be against it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if Hillary had a secret... propaganda arm on 4chan where anonymously she was saying that Alex and his associates had already been arrested or whatever. All this cryptic nonsense and bullshit predictions riling people up, and then, you know, people end up killing folks and
shooting into a pizza place. Man, it's so crazy with Hillary, them. Like, Hillary could have done step-by-step everything that Trump did, and they'd still be mad at her. They'd be like, that's not enough!
You mean, like, from a policy and political standpoint?
Yeah.
I would assume so, because it's not really about that.
No, sir.
So, Alex, now, realizing that he's talked about QAnon for quite a while, reassesses what the caller actually asked him.
I'm actually glad that Adam called in and asked, who and what is Q? And the answer is the same thing as Anonymous. People done good things, hackers, white hat activity, calling themselves Anonymous and wearing the Guy Fawkes mask. A lot of bad stuff's been done in its name. And so anything that is hidden and esoteric is a lot of fun for some people, but it's very, very dangerous and not good.
So Alex is now, I guess he feels that he has successfully rambled enough and given enough of a presentation that he can change what the caller actually asked.
Right.
The caller asked, you said you were going to name names. Did you name names? What are the names?
Right.
And now Alex has wandered around so much that the question is now, who and what is QAnon as opposed to what are the names?
Right.
It's a direct question that he has now changed.
Right.
And changed so distractingly that this caller actually has been fooled.
Okay. Adam in Oklahoma, does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. That was a very powerful answer, and God bless you, Alex. What you wrapped up there is the reason why I called and asked. It's just so many people took the bait for this, and it troubles me.
Yeah. So he did not get an answer to his question, the question that was asked, but Alex berated him and emotionally abused him and then rambled enough, apologized in the middle of it to smooth over the wounds, and managed to make this guy feel like he got something out of the exchange as opposed to Alex just said nothing for half an hour.
Yeah, it does feel like this should go into evidence as to why cult deprogramming doesn't work.
Oh, man, speaking of that, here's what happens immediately after that.
Oh, no.
And I know it's been a long conversation, but I would, if you'd let me say a prayer for you, I'd sure appreciate
Please
that.
Please do.
Father God, thank you for some of the things that are coming to light in this world, and I thank you for the courage that Alex and his team have had.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, like, I feel like, I don't know, people who are like, hey, you know, Alex is, he's right about a lot of stuff. I feel like this is a snapshot that maybe they should really ask themselves some questions about.
Yeah.
This entire presentation of him with the caller who asks about QAnon, the way it's handled, the way it progresses, and the fact that it leads to this guy having a prayer on air where he thanks God for Alex's bravery.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. This is cult shit.
I wish there was like a bot we could have on the internet, just a bot that every time it said Alex, anytime it detected like Alex was right, it would immediately follow up with a response of just these clips and be like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah,
defend it.
Well, I think that some people who are maybe more in the like sort of zealotry angle side of things, they may be fine with it. But there are some people who have brands that they probably want to maintain, like Joe Rogan or some of these other folks who will have him on their podcast, that this would be really embarrassing and really tough to answer for.
Man, Christians feel the same way about the Bible that they do about the Constitution, which is that reading it is just gauche.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea, and praying in public is exactly what Jesus told you to do.
Well, the thing is that what you don't understand is that InfoWars is a church.
And I do believe that InfoWars is the most effective church on planet Earth for getting the Word of God out. It's the one that isn't holding back. You don't
read
have
that Bible, buddy.
From the products you sell, I really enjoyed X2.
The products you sell!
From the products you sell and everything you're saying, you're risking your life. And frankly,
you're a great
most
church.
Christian pastors aren't. They should be banned. They should be banned, not you.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, these callers.
This is not fair.
No.
Stop saying that. Why did I have to learn so much fucking Christianity only to hate it? And then these people don't even know anything about it and then try and shove it down my throat all the time.
It's annoying.
It's very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It's very annoying.
I wish Alex would have flipped his desk after this caller was like, oh, you're the most important church in the world. And
how
also,
dare you?
Your
the Bible
products.
Says that you should not be able to sell things in a fucking church.
So Alex gets a call from his longtime caller, this guy Carlos. He calls all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
I remember Carlos.
Every episode.
Jesus.
And here's a little taste of Alex's old buddy.
Whenever I sort of like wonder, oh, gee, you know, I'm losing my focus on history, I read one quote and he brings me right back. And it's a quote from Mayor Amschel Rothschild. 1773, as you know, was an important date for me. But it says here, let me issue
1773 was?
A nation's money, and I care not who writes the laws.
So that's almost certainly a fake quote. There's no actual evidence that Mayor Rothschild said that. The sources that cite this quote as being said by him are a little dubious, and there are some indications that a guy named Andrew Fletcher said it in the 1600s, long before Rothschild was alive.
Sure.
The prevailing theory is that this quote was attributed to Rothschild in the early 1900s when there was a debate about the gold standard.
Right.
That was where this sort of pops up into the modern consciousness
that's
as being a quote.
That's the appropriate time to make that up from him.
That's when you start seeing Rothschild's name attached to it's nonsense.
Shortly after the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Well, this caller, I mean, that's what inspires this caller, and God bless him for it.
Oh, great.
So Alex gets another call, and this guy has an amazing suggestion for how Alex can make some money. It's ridiculous.
T-shirts?
I just had an idea. One thing that I would think a lot of InfoWars would have would be gold. And this may be a stupid idea. Let me preface to that. But what if anyone that sent in 1 ounce of gold, you gave them back a 1/10 ounce gold coin with like a certificate of authenticity /
hey, that'd be great because I don't have any gold. I don't have any gold. I used to have gold and my ex-wife got in the divorce, and but I'm literally out of money myself. So.
Yeah, how about you have people send you a dollar and you send them back a dime?
How about you bilk people for even more money?
Damn.
I mean,
it's an interesting idea. I mean, it's not really all that different than the overpriced silver coins that he's selling or the sliver of gold.
Right.
Like, it's not really, except for
the novelty is the gold for gold transaction.
Right.
That's what's fun.
Right.
That's what's fun about it.
And it is. Yeah, it is certainly fun.
That's like if you sent him in a gold statue and he smashed the head off of it and gave it back to you.
Right.
Like, I'll keep the rest of it. You get the head.
Yeah. So Alex has a response to this guy. And also some big news.
Our listeners would come through with that. I know they would. We're going to do that, brother. Your idea is going to happen.
I hate you.
Yeah, because I think that would be amazing. And then, like, you sign all of them. Cause that would be the main. That would be like the one. Only the people that send in the 1 ounce would get. And then you can make 9 others.
1 trillion percent. Somebody sends us an ounce of gold, they're going to get a handwritten note. Because that's what we need is things that have a big profit in them to fight. I haven't announced this yet. But we now officially know, and it's going to come out soon, it is George Soros behind all the lawsuits behind us. And he's basically getting ready to officially announce he's trying to take me down.
Wait, you haven't said that before?
Yeah.
Wait, now it's official?
Just now, we figured it out.
Now, I will say, I can think of very few ways of making money that are more tailored to laundering than this.
Giving someone gold
and then you send them less gold
for less gold and then not really keeping track of what it is that the value of what you
the value is added by this little thing you're going to give them a note.
Right.
Yeah, this seems like a really good way to take in some money that maybe
I mean, if I was going to launder a shit ton of money, I would put it into gold and then send it to Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's another avenue.
That's yeah. I mean, maybe
but it's also a ridiculously dumb idea.
It's a very dumb idea.
Speaking of dumb ideas,
what if I send you 10 Bitcoin mm-hmm. and you send me one back? That's a great idea, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So Alex has some bad ideas like this. The callers have bad ideas, and here's one of Alex's. He's just spent half an hour at least rambling about QAnon,
sure,
and how dumb Q is, and how it's a fucking attack on everybody.
And Steve Pachonik's favorite thing.
And now Alex ends the show with an interview with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
God damn it.
Noted member of Congress who believed in QAnon.
Yep.
MTG on the road, graciously popping in for just a little while. Thank you so much. And I want to say congratulations, you know, for fighting back and winning. But at the same time, you shouldn't have even had to be in court. You don't have a criminal record. You weren't under indictment. You're not a felon. They had no reason to do this. This really discredits them. But congratulations still.
Well, thank you, Alex. And it does discredit them, and shame on them for ever putting me through this and putting the people in my district through this.
Wow. She's on speed dial now, man. She's she's coming in to InfoWars a bit.
Yeah, I think she thinks she's losing an election here pretty soon.
I don't know. It's interesting to try and read the signs of like her whether it is is frequent InfoWars appearances.
Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
For me to say she thinks that she's going to lose an election implies that I believe she has some sort of ability to plan long term and to recognize reality.
Sure.
And I just don't think that's true now. So I think anything could be possible in her brain.
Yeah. I think also one of the problems that you run into is that the behavior would be indistinguishable because
true.
Coming on InfoWars a bunch could be trying to get the vote out, get
totally.
Your name out there,
yep.
or it could be trying to lay track for a career after you lose your primary or your election. So I don't know. I wouldn't be so quick to make assumptions, but man, it is bad news. It is the combination of her and him. Like, she posted that ultra MAGA thing with the red eyes thing, signaling to like this dark MAGA side.
Yeah.
And Alex is, you know, certainly more recently talked a bit more about black pill ideas.
Yeah.
Blackpill.news is one of his websites.
I mean,
and like, this is not good. These combinations and influences coming together is
yeah.
Eesh.
It's not good. It's the larger thing that she's part of. You know, like, oh, if you go back and look at Congresses through history and start really looking at individual members, I would be shocked to find a single Congress that does not have at least one truly insane person in there.
Yeah.
It's that there were also the president and the rest of Congress mm-hmm. on her team, too. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my bigger problem.
Yeah, there is... it's more troubling.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it does feel different than, like, Ron Paul showing up on Alex's show a lot.
It really does.
I don't know why.
I think it's because she feels nutsier.
Yeah. I think that if Ron Paul had been into QAnon prior to him being on Alex's show, I would be as worried about Ron Paul.
Q changed it for everybody, though. Mm-hmm. Once you went to Q, it's like you're scary now.
Well, Ron Paul is like a John Birchie kind of guy.
Totally.
You know, and so like Alex is a John Birchie kind of guy.
Right.
It makes sense for them to be together.
Right.
Whereas Marjorie Taylor Greene is a QAnon weirdo, unhinged, who knows what the fuck reality she inhabits.
Yes.
And yeah, if she was a John Birchie kind of member of Congress, I don't know if I would have the same instinctual worry about it.
Yeah, well, it always felt like...
Like if Rand Paul was going on Alex's show.
Sure.
But then again, now that seems like it's just because he's related to Ron Paul.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely that.
But it...
Because Ron and Rand, despite being shitty people and batshit nuts, it has always felt like you inhabit the same universe. And every time MTG speaks, I'm like, I don't know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know where you are or what you think or why or how.
I wrestle with this a little bit. And I think this next clip actually will lay out a little bit of why. Because like, there is that inhabiting of a false reality somewhat. But there is also, like, I think that this clip illustrates that there are some indications that she also is very clearly aware of the fact that there is another real reality.
Yeah.
You were getting into something, MTG, really central here, and that is these giant distribution centers and food factories and processing facilities blowing up and burning up every day, statistically impossible. You've got a lot of connections, a lot of intel. We look at the pipelines being shut down, the dollar being devalued, the Cloward and Piven strategy to bring America to its knees by destroying capitalism, by sabotage. That's what this is. I mean, there's so many signs of it everywhere. What do you think's really going on, and what are you hearing?
Well, I think people are beginning to realize this may be more than just a coincidence. And I can tell you, you know, manufacturing plants, it is common that there can be fires. It's sometimes if a manufacturing plant is old, occasionally a fire will happen. But this is such a common occurrence right now, especially in the past few months, Alex. It doesn't seem to be a coincidence. And it shouldn't be happening. And why is it food processing plants over and over and over, like you're talking about?
This is a choice.
I mean, what you just said is why it's food processing plants.
Well, yeah, there are these fires that have happened. And Marjorie Taylor Greene even knows that these sorts of fires at these facilities isn't something that's uncommon.
Totally.
She knows the actual explanation for the things that are happening. But she also knows that she only gets information from outlets that are full of shit, like InfoWars.
Right.
For outlets like InfoWars and Tucker, these fires are useful only insofar as they are happening at food plants, which is why Marjorie Taylor Greene may think that they're all happening at food plants. The conspiracy is about the globalists attacking the food supply, so that's the angle that full of shit outlets take on the story, and thus it seems like the perception that Marjorie Taylor Greene is mirroring.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, there was a fire at a textile plant in South Carolina, but that's not leading the coverage because it doesn't fit the conspiracy. Yesterday, there was also a fire at the Geldwin plant in Wysox, Pennsylvania, but this isn't part of the conspiracy because it's a company that makes interior doors. There's an explanation for the phenomena that Green is discussing, and she knows that explanation, as proven by her saying the explanation out loud. She knows the reality, but the conspiracy is more useful, so she leans into that, ignoring reality in favor of her constructed world. There's certainly other reasons, but this kind of tendency disqualifies her, I think, for being someone who should hold public office.
Yeah.
If someone is willing to knowingly use conspiracy bullshit to persuade you towards a conclusion, you can't trust that they're being straight up about anything.
Ever. Ever.
And I think that might be the distinction between her and Ron Paul, because I do believe that Ron Paul believes the shit that he says.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's wrong, and you know, but I think that he sincerely believes,
sure,
that, you know, the Fed is evil,
yeah,
or whatever.
I mean, maybe what I feel like is the difference between Alex and, like, it's the difference of exploiting fake reality,
mm-hmm,
and trying to use it to, or trying to make fake reality usurp real reality. Do you, mm-hmm, know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rand Paul has always seemed like he's exploiting fake reality. You know, he's given the bones to the people who need the bones to get his job, you know?
Mm.
And MTG really feels like she is trying to destroy reality and replace it with the bullshit she believes.
It's hard to tell, but there is something that feels different.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it is, but is it possible that we're experiencing some low-grade misogyny here?
I'm wrestling with that a tiny bit, and I don't think it is.
I don't think it is, but that's kind of how it would go, you know. But at the same time, why in this situation, mm-hmm, would misogyny even creep in? I'm scared about reality, not about women being involved with it.
Well, I mean, I was trying to put like my feelings and apply them onto somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think I would feel just as bad if like Matt Gaetz was on like regularly.
100%.
Or Louis Gohmert.
Yeah.
Or Jim Jordan, or
you name it.
That guy in Missouri whose name escapes me at the moment.
Yeah. Hawley?
Yeah, Josh Hawley.
Yeah, yeah. If he had Hawley on there, that's almost scarier.
And if it was like happening all the time,
yeah,
now, if it was like a regular guest ship of some of these other people who aren't women, who,
yeah,
are completely
right,
scary to me.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it's just I'm not scared of Ron Paul.
<That's it. laughs> I think it's too, we've been around him too long.
Yeah.
He's been kind of grandfathered in as the Fed guy.
Mm-hmm.
Three senators passed the Fed with his brother.
His brother.
I know.
We don't know that Ron actually thinks that's Wayne.
But yeah, you know, maybe we just have like a bias towards old people being less harmful, I suppose.
Maybe.
Maybe.
There is something to that. Maybe the Ron Paul's ideology is something that
seems
almost antique.
It's from the past. Yeah. We don't have to worry about it, despite the fact that we're clearly dealing with it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whereas there's elements of what Marjorie Taylor Greene represents that is still kind of like this not fully formed yet present and what could be in the future.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's the potential for destruction more than Ron Paul or Rand Paul is. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of weird threads that it's kind of tough to untangle all of them.
Yeah.
But we have one last clip here, and it's where I kind of really like just declare fully.
Fuck off.
Well, that Marjorie Taylor Greene is like, this is a performance.
Yeah.
I think everyone should be concerned about this. It is certainly something that I'm paying attention to. My team is starting to ask questions on, and I don't think it, you know, I don't want to speculate, but there's too many food processing plants this is happening at, and it's too frequent of an occurrence. And no one in charge seems to care. We don't see the FBI or the Department of Justice. You don't see people holding press conferences saying what is going on. You know, we've got mothers at grocery stores crying because they can't find baby formula, which is just horrendous and heartbreaking. But I think we have a real crisis on our hands, and I think it's something that people need to pay serious attention to and demand investigations happen.
Well, that's right. Maybe the FBI wasn't using thousands and thousands of agents to harass January 6th peaceful protesters. We would have answers.
She already has the answer to the question that she's demanding be answered.
Yeah. And she told us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She already knows.
Yep.
And the FBI isn't going to investigate this because there's very ready statistics on this that show that this is not out of the normal.
And what do you want from the people in power? Regulation?
Sure. Why not?
Is that what she's saying?
I mean, if that's the conversation,
if that's what you want,
let's
pursue that line. What does the press conference lead to other than regulations?
Well, the absence of the press conference that would ultimately lead to regulations is a great optical thing, because then you can say that there's a cover-up of what is obviously agri-terrorism or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But that's nonsense. This is a performance. Yeah. She doesn't believe any of this shit.
Yep.
And you can tell because she's already explained it in this
conversation. The very first thing she said was, here's why this doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And now I believe you.
Yeah. I find it infuriating and a bummer.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
These people just lie all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's how they get away with shit. It's weird.
Yep.
When are people going to be like, hey, I think you're a liar?
It's overdue.
It does seem that way.
Also, I think it would be great if, hey, you're a liar meant something.
Like, it would
there were
be
consequences
nice.
It for
would
it,
be nice.
As
hey.
Opposed to just like, hey, you're a liar. You bet I am.
Hey, yeah, you'll vote for me in August.
So we come to the end of this. I think, like, really the value of this episode is, first of all, the QAnon stuff, I think, is just outrageous.
Yeah.
And then I cannot accept that we're living in a post the globalist plan can't be stopped world. And this is the kind of show that he's deciding to do.
It is so hard to shake that, because once the world has officially ended, it's not going to unend.
Mm-hmm. Or if it does, like we've said before, it demand an explanation for
absolutely.
Why. What
totally.
Changed?
Totally.
Walk us through this.
Yep.
You said we're all going to die. Now calm us down by explaining why we're not all going to die.
Oh, man. Oklahoma is going to call in 2 years and be like, hey, remember when you said that we were all going to die 3 years ago? Whatever happened with that? Did we die?
Well, look, here's the, I hate it when people. Anyway, we'll be back.
Indeed, we will.
But until then, Jordan, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @KnowledgeFight, and I go to bed, Jordan.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DCX Clark. I hope you all have a dreamy, creamy summer.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.